Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Radio, I'm here with Robert Gotland, Director of Orthopedic and Sports Rehab for Beth Israel Medical Center's Continuum Center for Health and Healing. He's also a coach, a sports parent, and the author of Dr. Rob's Guide to Raising Fit Kids. He has lots to say about sports kids' mental challenges.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa.
Let's begin with the mental game issues that injured children face.
Well, first of all, when a child is injured, they're suffering pain. They have an injury. And today's day and age with organized sports and parents being very involved with kids' games and being at the games, which we promote and want, when a child gets hurt, unfortunately, when they look up, they're looking for some solace, some help, and they see dad or a parent looking at the child with that face on, get back out there and play, you're okay, it's only a tweak, and they look over the other way and they see mom or another parent kind of more nurturing and saying, if you're hurt, come on out, and they get stuck in the middle. And then, of course, the coach runs out to hopefully add some credence to this situation, and unfortunately, based upon the kid's ability, whether it's one of the better players or not, oftentimes, more often than not, unfortunately, the coach's decision as far as to push or not to push comes down to the child's ability, not the child's injury. So kids have a huge challenge out there when they want to be out there playing sports for fun, for exercise, be with their friends, now have this adult world burdening them as far as pushing too hard for success, and success defined by a child is not the same as defined by a parent.
So what's the best thing for parents to do, and what's the best thing for the kids to do?
Parents, first of all, should see all sports, recreational sports, as anything but what they want it to be. They have to let it be what the child wants it to be, and that's nothing more than a recreational vehicle just to be fit and healthy. Let them be out there playing and think back to the days of when we were children as parents, when we had free play, we had choose-up games, we had just our run-of-the-mill where nothing really mattered. Put yourself in that scenario and not where you are now, where now kids become commodities. They become the best players, the all-stars. There's scholarships on their mind. They become more of a marketing tool than they do a child, and parents have to erase that from their minds because it just happens day in and day out, competition, because organized youth sports creates competition, and every parent wants their child to succeed. And unfortunately, we define success as a batting average or how many points in basketball, not about being out there and just competing and having a good time. So we've lost our minds as far as what we can consider success.
I want to go back to the, Rob, there's an area in sports psychology we often talk about, the psychology of injured athlete. And I'm sure you've seen this where an athlete might be fully healed, like gets the okay from you or a doctor that they can go out and compete again, but yet mentally they still have some scars going on in relation to maybe the fear of re-injury or confidence issues. What are some things that you see there, and do you actually work with kids on that respect as well?
Well, certainly. When kids are resolved from an injury, if the injury was one that was traumatic, and I guess the best analogy we can make is for adults to understand is the God forbid car accident. After the car accident, when you were the driver, for a time period, you don't want to drive that car or any car. You want to be not in a car or vehicle because you still have that engram in your head of the car accident. A child that suffers a significant injury not only has the fear of injury because their minds are not fully capacitized yet. They're small. They have a lot of room, and they have this fear still of that injury, red flag in their head. And they oftentimes will want to go back and play because they're kids, but want to try something different. Maybe go to the outfield now rather than be the catcher where they got hurt, or try second base rather than third base where they were slid into by a player and tore up their leg. It's a whole mental game that parents or coaches have to sense on the child. And as far as getting them back into play, the most successful thing we've seen is by placing that child in a position to build confidence. And when we can build confidence again, catch one ball, catch five balls, catch 10 balls, all of a sudden we see success. And when they get successful, they want to expand and get more confident. It goes back and forth, confidence, success, success, confidence. But we have to realize, and I think that many times, especially coaches don't, that the trauma of whatever the injury was, or the if it was a baseball bat to the arm or to the body, or a ball hit to the head or a broken finger, that engram stays there for a while, and it's unrealistic to expect someone to jump back in there. Although many kids will, obviously, because many kids are fearless, but others aren't.
Do they play that injury over and over again in their head, during a rehab process, and then, that becomes a fear of re-injury once they get back in competition?
You know, it does happen, but quite honestly, and I've been around thousands of kids between coaching and directing leagues and in my medical profession. Kids are, as we know, are easily distractible through the ages. Their mindset, their attention span, fortunately for us in that sense, is very short. And it seems a lot easier to migrate them back into a scenario for most of them just by making it an event that they find fun with or are challenging or is exciting, as opposed to the exact event that reminds them of the same exact injury. If we go back to the same exact scenario, they do have that fear factor. But for the most part, getting them back into being part of the group with their friends, with their teammates, I would say the majority do assimilate back into the game again if we, as mentors, as coaches, as parents, assure that it's a safe zone and they're not being put back into harm's way directly.
Interesting. What other kinds of mental game issues do you see that kids have?
Well, the biggest game I see kids having is really the decision of, and I guess this is kind of generalizing, of why they're out there. Are they out there because they want to be out there to have a great time with their friends? Yes. Do they want to look forward to after the game having ice pop with their friends? Yes. Are they out there hearing from the right field fence dad yelling about move left, move right, and then hearing one of the coaches say come in, and then having the regular coach say, what are you doing, why are you moving around, and that overstresses them? Yes. There are many reasons and many issues that surround the poor kid who's out there. And I've always had this notion of, and again, it changes as a child. You know, we use the, in the sports world, we use the age of 13, 14 as the transition time where we now can free up that issue of nurturing and let it get a little competitive. Let the competition really take the role. Let the better players start to get more playing time, and the lesser players have to realize there is a differential to work harder, and it's okay to be a substitute. But the issue becomes is this whole alignment or I guess assimilation to where what their role is, where they are, and how they fit in to the bigger picture. And for the longest time, the younger ones, I despise leagues that insist on having, for instance, 10-foot baskets in basketball for kids who are 4 or 5 years old. Their logic to me is, well, they've got to learn how to play the game, and baskets are 10 feet. And the obvious answer is, but they can't reach a 10-foot basket. Make it a 6-foot basket. It's okay. Many people feel it's not really the game. And I say it's not really the game. It's a 6-year-old playing the game. Or the pitcher in Little League, what age do we allow the kids really to start pitching for real? I don't think a 7-year-old should have the pressure of being the pitcher, having everybody watch them perform. They don't want to be on the pedestal of performing with the pressure. They want to be out there having fun. And although kids say, I want to pitch, after 3 or 4 bad pitches, what do? They break down, they start weeping, they lose their interest. In basketball, at the free throw line, that one player taking the foul shot, when they take the younger kids and put them at the point of all eyes on, I think it's not right. That's why I love soccer. Soccer is a sport that you can have 7 or 11 kids on a team, 22 kids running around in a mosh pit. I don't care. They run around in a pack, but it's fine because they're having fun. And no one knows we surveyed parents on the sidelines for soccer games. Who scored the first goal? No one knows other than the parent of the child. But no one really knows because it's just a free-for-all, and that's what it should be, as opposed to, did you see little Johnny walk 5 batters last night? And they talk about in town how little Johnny gave up 5 walks. That's not what it's all about. So we put undue mental pressure on kids by putting them in a position to have to perform. They want to perform on their own amongst their friends, where they can be, in their own words, trash talk amongst their friends at whatever age, whatever kids do. Not when mom or dad or coach are watching and gazing at them with eyes like they're daggers, and one wrong move, dad screams, or after the game on the way home, dad saying, "What'd you do? What was wrong today? What was wrong with your fastball today?" What's the kid going to say? I don't know. The kid shouldn't have to answer that question. He's having a good time. And we've just lost our minds. I think that for the most part, and I go through this week in and week out with parents in my office with their children, in my leagues I coach, that the amount of pressure that's put on these kids to perform ruins the game and mentally just defeats them and wants them to be out of the sport rather than push them to be in the sport.
So, Patrick, you have some strong issues about pressure.
Some strong issues, some ideas about pressure, certainly.
Issues,
well,
and ideas.
I want to jump in and say, you know, by and large, the definition of sports is really, it's a performance. You know, whatever you're doing, whether it's in practice, whether you're training or practicing, you're performing in some way. Whether you're competing, you're performing. So you can't get around the whole performance issue, but I do believe, Rob, you can be able to mitigate some of the pressure that parents put on kids to perform perfectly or to win or whatever. But kids, by and large, I find out through coaching with parents and young kids, you know, doing some of the mental coaching with families, that kids have their own expectations about how they should perform as well. And then when you heap on expectations from coaches and parents, they can start to adopt those expectations as their own. But most athletes who train, you know, I'm talking about the athletes that practice and train every day, you know, not really your Y athletes, your twice a week Y athletes, but athletes that go to practice, middle school and beyond, every day, they develop these expectations about how they think they should perform. And often that gets in the way just as much as parents heaping on their own expectations. And in my mind, the expectations become pressure. They're one and the same, right? If you feel like you got to perform well for a parent, that's pressure that kids feel in order to perform up to a certain level. But, you know, sports is performance. You know, even when you're considering things like dance or performing in a play at school, it's all performance, and by and large, you know, kids want to have fun, but they also, if they practice and they train, they want to perform too.
Well, the analogy, and I agree with you that certainly there's a performance, but the analogy that we've done in our town is we, on certain nights, on a Friday night, we will gather, open gym, come down any ages, whatever, who wants to come down, usually it's kids between the ages of 11, 12, and 15 or so will come down to the basketball court. And the rules are very simple for the open gym. I or an adult will sit on the sideline with a ledger pad, and you come up to me five at a time and give me five names and rotate around. You guys go out there and play basketball. You guys make up you guys call your fouls. You guys play the game. When these kids go out there and play the game, they're performing. They're playing better, I think, oftentimes, than when they're performing under the organized structure, when the coach is expecting them to do certain things. And oftentimes, you see better performance when kids have less pressure from the outside and only from within amongst mm-hmm. their peers. And I see much better athletics as a group when I sit there on the side. All I do is hold the pad. They change up teams. They push. They shove. They call their own fouls. They trash talk. They fight. They settle their own arguments on the court. And they do fine. There is pressure and there is performance. But it's different, I think, than if that same scenario has kids. And I've seen kids who I've coached as they're younger now go to high school level where they have the so-called real coach who thinks that they're coaching in professional sports, but they're high school coaches still. I'm not knocking them. I coach high school sports too. But it changes. And now all of a sudden, I see these kids who I know how they can play. I've seen them perform all of a sudden because in the role of the high school sport, coach says, you've got to do this or you're not going to play. Well, they're going to do that because they want to play, but it changes their game. It ruins their game oftentimes. They don't get better, per se, because they have the new guidelines now, even though they're out there 5 days per week, 3 hours at a time. I see them oftentimes doing better when they're on their own, doing their own thing, when they didn't have to coach over their back at the high school level performing. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. But oftentimes the week in and week out, and my kids play high school sports, and I see what happens. It's the fear of the coach and the fear of not performing to the coach's expectation that makes them do things differently, and it takes away the game they had. And all of a sudden, we see this huge drop-off at age 13, 14, 15 because they realize, A, of course, there are other issues, hormonal and social issues that move on, but they just lost the interest because they got overbeared. Other than the few – when it, you know, the 10% of the elite travel type players who are the natural kids when they were 6 years of age were those kids then too that go on and perform and go on to high school, college, and therefore. So I think for the big bulk of kids, though, it's that transition to the so-called figure of a coach or a very heavy-duty parent that takes away the game from the kids. And it isn't like they're not doing well without them. They do great without them because they're kids. And kids naturally perform as kids amongst kids.
Well, great. Well, Rob, you've been tremendously helpful.
Well,
we should have you back.
Anytime. It's my pleasure. And this is hopefully we're all going to make a positive impact on this and go in the right direction because, really, it's not fair to the young ones who have to grow up and be adults themselves. So hopefully we'll do the right thing.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Sure thing.
Be sure to visit youthsportpsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportpsychology.com.